Hi, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of the podcast and my interview with Danielle Lasuza. This week, Danielle tells a story that might be triggering for some of you. Specifically, it's about what happened after the birth of her baby and how she found herself suffering from postpartum psychosis. So for those of you who are sensitive to this subject or to anything around mental health, please take care. We talk a bit about doors in this episode and how giving birth is really this intensely liminal space where the soul meets the body and enters it for its journey on earth. When I lived in Portland, I had a healer who I became very good friends with, and she told me how she had attended the birth of her sister's baby and how at the moment of birth, she saw this door open, this kind of portal, and she witnessed the baby's soul come forth and enter the baby's body. It was so groundbreaking and stunning for her that it was all she could talk about for the next few months. And all this to say, we don't really know, do we? Is there a soul? Isn't there? Is it up in our heads, our hearts? Is it in our whole bodies? Where do souls come from? Sylvia Plath, from her collected poems, said, "I am terrified by this dark thing that sleeps in me. And that dark thing, our soul, is the dreamer of our dreams, the architect of our hopes and the self. It is us." I'm not going to lie, this conversation about the soul is a big one, but maybe you could think about it this week, about your soul and what and how it's speaking to you. Despite these big questions, we do have a podcast episode to get to, and Danielle's powerful story of liminal spaces and how, if the door is left just a bit open, potentials and mystery abound.
You know, it's funny. I was in New York at the time, the first part of my pregnancy. My husband had gotten a job. I was teaching in New York. I had to finish out my school year. So we spent the first half of my pregnancy on separate coasts. And I remember talking to my therapist, getting ready to move and saying, you know, I'm going to be moving to a new city where I don't know anybody. And my husband's going to be working, you know, 5 days a week, and I will be by myself with a new baby in a one-bedroom apartment. It sounds like a recipe for a nervous breakdown.
But whatever you'd like to share, I'm like here for. I've heard it all. Just putting it out there. So
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll see if you've heard mine. Mine's kind of a big story. When I saw that was, you know, kind of what you focus on, the big thing that comes to mind for me was when my daughter was about 3 months old. I have one child. And when I was about 3 months postpartum, I was hospitalized with postpartum psychosis. And that was, you know, I was in the hospital for about a week, 5 days, and then I was in an outpatient program for about a month and a half after that. And that was a really terrifying part, you know, experience of my life. And I wouldn't recommend it. But at the same time, there was a lot of magic in it. And it's hard to even really, I'm writing a book about it now, trying to parse it all apart for myself, but there certainly was something about it that I felt like was not simply mental illness, but I really did feel like I kind of tapped into something true. And part of that is because before I went, I went through that experience, I had done a few years of pretty intensive meditation, and I'd gone on these retreats, these 10-day silent retreats, and had experiences there that were really intense, like felt kind of psychedelic in nature. And that really kind of informed my experience of chronic sleep deprivation and the feeling of being kind of high and manic and, you know, feeling like I was having a very similar experience of being in an elevated state, you know, and perhaps in a different spiritual state. And I think that, you know, as I like say these things, it feels like, okay, well, you know, again, different people tell different stories about what these things mean. I think that the story I was getting from my medical professionals was like, this is delusion. You are ill. This is, you know, you need medication. You need to sleep more. And some of those things were true. But at the same time, I don't think that what I experienced was entirely delusion or false. And I think that I had experiences, you know, like, for example, the fact that I could see things and people and the colors would feel totally saturated and there was a kind of energy and a kind of like everything sort of sparkled, you know? And then I would like sleep for a few hours and wake up and it would feel totally normal again and different. And I just think it's weird that that is that the human brain is so malleable. And it just made me think a lot about how different people experience the world in different ways. I felt like I had different perceptual experiences that I normally would not have. And it made me wonder who else is having perceptual experiences like mine, but they're acclimated to it. So it doesn't feel dangerous or weird or new to them. It just is the way they see the world. And it just made me wonder, like, well, what does that mean about truth? And what does it mean about, you know, human consciousness? It as a philosopher and going through that experience, I had a lot of thoughts.
That's kind of an astonishing story. And I, you know, every mother to be is different, of course. And I'm going to assume, and please tell me if I'm wrong, that when you were getting ready to have your baby, that you weren't planning on this happening.
Correct. Yes.
Could you even conceive of it happening?
You know, it's funny. I was in New York at the time, the first part of my pregnancy. My husband had gotten a job. I was teaching in New York. I had to finish out my school year. So we spent the first half of my pregnancy on separate coasts. And I remember talking to my therapist, getting ready to move and saying, you know, I'm going to be moving to a new city where I don't know anybody. And my husband's going to be working, you know, 5 days a week, and I will be by myself with a new baby in a one bedroom apartment. It sounds like a recipe for a nervous breakdown. And then I had a nervous breakdown. And so I guess I could conceive of it to that extent, but I didn't ever plan for it or really expect anything like this to happen. I'd never had any kind of mental health issues previously beyond just sort of like garden variety anxiety and depression, and not even really like that. You know, after a bad breakup, I felt pretty depressed, but otherwise I was a pretty, you know, happy person. And this was not even on my radar.
And I guess another question, you know, when you were experiencing it, when you were in, you know, in the middle of it, did you have a sense that things were maybe just a little not right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes people talk about psychosis and like one of the features of psychosis, meaning that you have no tie to reality. You're sort of in your own world. And that wasn't true for me. I felt like I was kind of straddling both worlds. Like I had this whole other, you know, I would take care of my baby, and my husband eventually had to like take leave from his work to take care of me. And, I had family visit and help out. And so I felt like I could be in that world while at the same time, there was this whole other storyline going on in my head about what was happening. And that storyline included like, I'm becoming enlightened. And my cousin, who was like one of the only other people I knew in town, who is a naturopath and kind of like was already plugged into these different ways of looking at the world that were very different from what I grew up with and we both grew up with. And I was like, well, she seems to know so much and she gets to see, you know, she understands like all of these hidden things. And I bet she's going to lead the world through a spiritual revolution. And it'll be the first spiritual tradition started and run by women, and I'm going to write the sacred text, and all of this stuff was happening in my brain while I was like changing diapers and trying to make it from one therapy session to the next.
I mean, I have never given birth, but I mean, I can imagine it. I mean, what a powerful experience. I mean, but not even words just fail. Words fail when you talk about not only, you know, when the egg gets fertilized, that's a whole, but when you give birth, it's like doors open and this soul is brought into the world. It's like this strangely powerful liminal space mm-hmm. where new life is created. It's like this threshold, you know,
the portal.
Yes. And I just think to myself, you know, maybe some women who give birth, maybe that the door gets left ajar after the baby's born.
That's how it felt.
Okay. Yeah. And it's just this, you know, kind of you start to glimpse things through the door that, you know, because you talking about just that colors were saturated or sparkly, the world was sparkly. To me, that sounds beautiful.
It was.
Who wouldn't want to see the world like that all the time? But then I also think to myself, that could get overwhelming for me pretty quick. That's like too much. So maybe really our way of observation is dialed down so that we can navigate this world and not go into psychosis, not lose the tether that keeps us grounded to this reality. And I wonder if at, you know, some point in the future, they realize that some women upon giving birth, this massive threshold, this portal opens. And then for some women, it doesn't close all the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love that metaphor. And that's really how it felt. It felt like, you know, when you open up, you open yourself up wide enough for another person to pass through, like, who knows what else comes through, you know? Yeah, it was really beautiful in a lot of ways, but it was like a bad trip, right? Like it's saturated, and in some ways it's beautiful and startling and exquisite and divine, and I can't turn it off. And my body feels like it's thrumming and vibrating all the time, and it's getting to the point where like, I can't get out of it. And I just want to make it stop, and I can't turn it off, and I can't sleep. And I feel like I'm going to be conscious all the time, 24 hours a day, and please make it stop, you know? And both of those things were true, because you can only sustain either one of those for so long.
And I'm going to suspect that this experience has completely changed your life. Would that be correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
In what ways? I'm so curious.
Well, I mean, practically, it has changed my career. I always thought I would be teaching philosophy. When I moved to Portland, I figured I would be teaching maybe at a private high school, you know, or just teaching philosophy. Believe it or not, the jobs are few and far between. And I didn't want to move to like rural Minnesota to do it. I had lived in rural Minnesota before. I wasn't really interested in like doing that again. So rural Minnesota is fine and lovely in very many ways, but it just wasn't for me for the rest of my life. So I thought I would be teaching at private high school. Maybe I did in the back of my mind always kind of want to do what I'm doing now, this idea of coaching, using philosophy as a means to like support and help people. But I just never really had the courage to do it. And I think the biggest thing that experience gave me was like, it's like I was living my life in this sort of channel, and the bottom of it just dropped out. But at the same time, the top expanded. And so like the space just got a lot bigger. And it meant that, you know, once I had, it's like, I'd already gone crazy. Like the worst thing, I was like, what's going to happen if I try and do this thing that I was really scared to do, like put myself out into the public, try start this business, what, you know, write, do a podcast, all of these things that I had wanted to do for so long, do a TED Talk. I did the TED Talk after all of this happened. And I don't think I ever would have had the courage to do it before. I would have felt too committed to the idea I had of myself and who I was supposed to be. But after this experience, the idea I had of myself was just blown to bits. And so it suddenly felt a lot easier to do things that didn't have to protect that image.
For listening to this episode of the podcast. There is a link to Danielle's website in the episode show notes. Please visit her site to check out this brave and formidable human being. Thank you to Danielle for being a guest and telling her powerful and poignant story. Please remember, everyone, ratings and reviews and sharing the podcast is where it's at. Whatever platform you listen on, please consider taking the time to write a little review or leave a rating. And don't forget to share the podcast with everyone you meet on the street. Be shameless, be bold in sharing the podcast. You all might know that William Blake is one of my favorite authors / mystics. And in fact, the link to your beauty for this episode this week will be one of his pieces of art. But he said, in the universe, there are things that are known and things that are unknown, and in between them, there are doors. And really, we talk about that time and again on this podcast because so many of the stories that people tell involve these liminal spaces, these places between where some of us encounter doors. It makes life so much more exciting, don't you think? That doors to other mysteries and magics are all around us, if only we were able to see them? I love that thought, and that's what I'm going to carry with me this next week to kind of make the week a little more magical. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Danielle. See the potentials, the possibilities in your experiences. Yes, modern medicine can say one thing, but what is your experience? What is your feeling about the truth of what has happened in your life? Are there other ways to see it or interpret it? To encompass it and take it in? So be like Danielle and be open to the possibility of magic and mystery in not only our experiences, but also in the world. See you next week for the very next episode of this podcast. And until then, I hope your life is filled with big dreams, beautiful people, and adventures that just keep on going.